Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church.
So tonight we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore to help us cultivate a biblical worldview. And tonight we go to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is speaking and he says this, and this is our theme for the night, Mark 1, 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And so our theme tonight is that verse, but our subject is really faith. What does it mean that Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God and that Jesus came to call all people to come into the kingdom of God by the mechanism that he just prescribed? And so we're going to take this one verse and kind of break it down into three different movements to see that God, through Jesus, is really accomplishing some amazing things and announcing an amazing truth. So the first point that I want us to see tonight is this. At the right time, God the Father sent God the Son to usher in the kingdom. At just the right time, God the Father sent God the Son to usher in the kingdom. And that's what Jesus was doing as he made this announcement. John the Baptist had come to prepare the way for the one who would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as Jesus came in, this is the second person of the Holy Trinity who is incarnate in flesh, the Word becoming flesh to dwell among us, and we are beholding his glory as he comes to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand. This means that Jesus is coming to establish his rule in the hearts and lives of God's people that would ultimately lead to his established reign. And we're still in that process of approaching that day when Christ returns, the world is judged, the church is called to Jesus, there's a new heaven, a new earth, and we dwell forever in the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. What a day of rejoicing that will be. A day in which sin is fully and finally vanquished and we never have to worry about those things again. But notice that when the time was fulfilled, Jesus spoke that the kingdom of God was at hand. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, he said this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Why is it that God sent Jesus into the world at the time when he sent Jesus into the world? Well, the answer to that question is, quite frankly, because God is God, God knows best, and God does what God wants to do when God wants to do it. I participated in a study years ago entitled Discovering God's Will that was led by Andy Stanley, who's the pastor of North Point Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. And he talked about God's will as really having three components, that there's the moral will of God, that God has made it very clear what his moral will is. There's a list of these are the things you ought to do, these are the things you ought not to do, and God gave us very clearly the standard by which we are to live. You know, I never have to pray, should I steal? Because God's already answered that question. Never have to pray, should I cheat on my wife? God's already answered that question. He has made it very clear what his moral will for us is, and he's made it clear through his word. We also learn about the personal will of God, and that's the will that you and I tend to be most interested in. That is the will that says, this is what I want you to do. So, you know, I can't open my Bible and say, oh yes, I should take that job. Oh yes, I should move to that house or that apartment. Oh yes, I should change cities or I should marry that person. That's not in here. There is no First Jeff chapter 1 in here. I can't go to it and say, what do you want me to do? So what Andy Stanley is saying is that we must first align our lives with the moral will of God to be able to discern God's personal will for our lives. But then there's a third aspect of God's will that Andy Stanley identifies, and that is the providential will of God. And the providential will of God is just God doing the things that God wants to do when God wants to do them. You know, God in his perfect wisdom knew exactly when the time was right for Jesus to take on human flesh and to come to earth. And so he did that because he is providential over all things. He is our sovereign Lord, and he is God over all. And when the time was right, when God knew the time was right, he sent his son. You say, well, when is Jesus going to return? When is the second coming? You know what the answer to that question is? When the time is right. When God the Father sends God the Son. I love the way that the song puts it, the midnight cry. When God the Father steps out and says, Son, go get my children. What a day of rejoicing that will be for everyone who trusts and follows Jesus. So the first point to get, again, at the right time, God the Father sent God the Son to usher in the kingdom, to usher in Jesus's rule in the hearts and lives of God's people. And then the second point is this. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, repent and believe in the gospel. So what does it mean for people like you and me to enter the kingdom of God? Well, I want to take this mechanism that Jesus has here given, and I want to look at it kind of backwards. So the second point is, to enter the kingdom of God, we must believe the gospel. To enter the kingdom of God, we must believe the gospel. And the gospel is simply the good news that God the Father sent God the Son to usher in his kingdom, to die on the cross, and by dying on the cross, to pay in full the debt of our sin, to rise again from the grave, and by rising again from the grave, to declare victory over sin, Satan, death, and hell, and to ascend to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and one day will return to gather his people and to judge the world. The gospel is the good news that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel is the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And listen to this part, don't forget this part, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that next verse, that passage continues, John 3:16, then goes to John 3:17 and John 3:18. So let me read John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 to give us a fuller scope of what it means to believe the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So God gave us the mechanism by which we could be saved. He gave us Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. But through Christ, all are welcome to come. The Bible said that God's desire is that all people would come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. And Jesus opens his arms and says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, the way that we come to Jesus is by believing that he is the Son of God, who appeared in human flesh, who died on the cross to pay in full the price for our sin, who rose again from the grave, who ascended into heaven, and who one day will return, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you believe that? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? You say, well, yes, I believe it, but I haven't yet given my life to Jesus Christ. We're filming this during our week of Vacation Bible School, and I got to share the gospel with a precious child last night, and we always get to this point where we talk about the gospel, everything we just mentioned. Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven. One day he's coming back. Do you believe all this? And this precious child I was talking to last night said, yes. And I said, but there's one other step. And that step is to receive all this. See, God is offering every person the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's as if he holds out a gift and says, this is available to you. But you know, if I hold out a gift to you right now, do you have that gift? No, it's still in my hands. What do you have to do? You have to receive it. Well, how do we receive this gift? Because in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So how do I receive this gift that I believe has been made available to me? Well, Jesus tells us how. And he says it right here in this verse. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. So the third point I want to give us tonight is this. To enter the kingdom of God, we must repent of our sin. To enter the kingdom of God, we must repent of our sin. As we believe the good news about Jesus, we must repent of our sin. And repent is not a word that we use in our everyday language. So we need to define that. What does it mean to repent? The word in the Greek is metanoeo. It is a compound word formed by the prefix meta and then noeo or nous in the noun form. And you may say, I don't know anything about Greek. That's all Greek to me. But you know more than you think you do. Can you think of any other word in the English language that might begin with the word meta or the prefix meta? Well, what comes to my mind is what they taught me in third and fourth grade, metamorphosis. It's what happens when a tadpole becomes a frog. It's what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Meta means change. Yeah. So metamorphosis is a change in morphology, a change in form. So change is the first part of this word. And then noeo, which in the noun form is nous, is where we get to know. It is the mind. So repentance is a change of the mind. I believe the gospel. But as I believe the gospel, I also believe that God's word is true. And what God calls sin is sinful. I may not have believed that before, but I believe it now. I've become convinced that what God calls sinful is sinful. And I've become convinced that what God has offered to me in Jesus Christ is effective for me to be cleansed of my sin and to become new in Jesus Christ. So repentance is a change of the mind that results in changed behavior. So you might have heard people say to repent means to turn, and it absolutely does. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth that godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. Godly grief is grief over my sin. That, yes, I have transgressed God's law. I have done what God said not to do, and I have failed to do the things that God told me to do. So I'm going to turn from that life of sin, now that my mind has been changed, and I'm going to turn toward God. And how do I turn toward God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the mechanism by which we receive the gift of salvation in Jesus. We repent of our sin, turning away from our life of sin and turning towards Jesus, and we believe the gospel. We receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes preachers get phrases that kind of roll off their tongue more regularly than others. For me, the phrase, trust and follow Jesus, that definition of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ just makes so much sense to me, and so it comes out a lot that we are here to trust Jesus so much that we follow Jesus. And then our goal as followers of Christ is to help others trust and follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples. Trust and follow Jesus. Well, one of my mentors in ministry is a man named Peter Bartuska. And he was my pastor at the church I attended all through college. And not only did he preach to me on Sunday, but we got to become friends and we got to share meals together. And he really poured into my life and really mentored me. Well, the phrase that he always returned to was repent and believe. Every single Sunday, he would call all of us in church in light of what God had said through his word and by his spirit to repent and believe. There's always something of which we need to turn away from that is sinful and turn toward God. And we turn toward God because we believe the good news of the gospel. We believe that God so loves us that he gave his son for us. We believe that Jesus wants us to live a full and abundant life in him. And so we repent of those things which are sinful and we turn toward God, believing that God has loved us enough to send his son that we might have eternal life in him. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. So Jesus had come to establish his rule in the hearts and lives of God's people, and we who trust and follow Jesus are God's people. And so we gladly submit to his rule and to his reign, recognizing that the day will come when every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to to the glory of God the Father. You know what? We do that freely now. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and we are so grateful. We're so grateful for Him, and we're so grateful for the way that He moves in our lives. So tonight we're talking about faith. And what does it mean to exercise our faith? It means we repent of sinful decisions, turn toward God, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we dwell securely in the hand of God as children of God in God's kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we thank You so much for all the ways that You have shown Your love for us. Most notably, Lord, we thank You for sending Your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us and to rise again from the grave. We thank You, Lord, that all who believe in Him, all who receive Him, You make children of God. And we thank You, Lord, that we shall not perish, but have everlasting life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, Lord, let us examine our lives tonight to ask, of what sin do I need to repent today? What is there in my life that You desire to be out of my life? What is there in my life that You desire to take out because it is stealing and killing and destroying in me today? Lord, show those things to us and help us to turn away from them. But Lord, help us also ask the question, in what way do we need to believe the gospel again? In what way do we need to believe the good news of Jesus afresh and anew in our lives? Help us, Lord, to believe Your message, to trust and follow Jesus more than ever before. And as we bring this worship service to a close, once again, we join together our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks. Tripped over my tongue a time or two, but I think it'll be all right.